In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, we ask simply, of what are you afraid? There, of course, are many fears. For instance, regarding money, having enough of it to get through the month. One of the best counseling services I provided to a young couple who was worried about money was when I sat down and taught them how to make a budget. Some fear for their physical well-being, whether regarding hunger or health, illness or injury, or conditions requiring medications or monitoring. There are fears related to the world, like threatening weather, or national relations like the current situation with North Korea. Having almost drowned when I was young, I was always afraid of water as a child, until an amazing man, my first year in college, taught me how to swim in 5 weeks. However, we still need to have a healthy fear called respect for water. So, of what are you afraid? Was Jesus ever afraid? This chapter starts with the account of the death of John the Baptist. And this signaled to Jesus a major change in directory for him, trajectory, as twice in this chapter he tried to get away by himself to pray, but he was interrupted by a great crowd. The feeding of the 5,000 was the first great miracle in this chapter. After this, today we hear how he sent his disciples by boat to meet him on the other side of the sea, dismissed the crowds, and finally got to spend some time alone in prayer with his Father. Then came the second great miracle of this chapter. Of what were the disciples afraid in their boat when the wind was against them? In this case, it really wasn't the stormy weather that caused the fear. After all, they were experienced sailors. No, St. Matthew tells us it wasn't until they saw Jesus walking on the sea that they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost, a phantasma, a phantom," and they cried out in fear. But this second great miracle ends with Jesus speaking to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And this is to be for us today as we hear this word of divine absolution in the face of any and all fears we may have. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Actually, there was more fear expressed in our text by St. Peter. First, of course, his faith welled up in him as he saw that it was Jesus and asked, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come on the water." What? What was he thinking? Still, Jesus answered his prayer of faith and said, "Come on." And all of a sudden, Peter was participating in the miracle and began to walk on the water to Jesus. But again, fear entered the picture as Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and again was frightened by the wind. Sinking in fear, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus took Peter by the hand. They both entered the boat. The wind ceased. And they worshiped Jesus, making that great confession, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And there is the point and the answer to any and all of your fears. Many people, of course, do not believe or simply make a joke out of Jesus walking on the water. But they do so because they do not know or believe who Jesus really is. So we need to ask again today, who is Jesus? We heard the word of the Lord to Job in our first reading. After some 37 chapters of Job questioning why it seemed that God was against him, allowing all the disaster that had befallen him, it was as if God finally had enough. The chapter begins, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?'" It was, as I titled the reading in today's Ordo or service folder, "Just who do you think you are?" Then the questions, reminding Job that God, the Lord, is the creator, and you're not. God is called by his saving covenant name, Yahweh, who laid the foundations of the earth, who shut in the sea with doors and prescribed limits for it, and said, "Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed." Commands, by the way, that seem to still stand even against the most hysterical predictions of our time. Now in the Creed, we confess that Jesus is of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, of one substance. Indeed, we have heard Jesus say, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father, and I and the Father are one." In other words, when Jesus said to the disciples, "It is I," he was using the divine name, "I am." He is saying that he possesses the same creative saving power of the Father, who can and does command even wind and waves. And when this mighty Savior thus then commands Peter and you and me, saying, "Do not be afraid," his word is enough to take away our fears. And not only the lesser fears, but the big three also, the fear of sin, death, and the devil. "Fear not. He died to take away your sin." We don't even fear death, as his death destroyed the power of death for us. And by his death, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Now, the church has always been compared to a ship or a boat. We are sitting in the nave, the center part of the church building, Latin for ship. We might call the church God's lifeboat. This same Jesus is with us in the boat. And today he says to you the same words, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Here to him we bring our fears and failures, even our sins, because we know that even though we are still afraid, even though we are still sinners, our Savior is not only a miracle-working example for us to imitate, he is the Lord, our beautiful Savior, King of creation, Lord of the nations, Son of God and Son of Man. In him we cry out of all our troubles, "Lord, save me." And he does. He did. And he will. Peter used the same word for salvation from sin, death, and the devil, "Save me." At that, Jesus reached out his hand to Peter. And here Jesus reaches out his hand to you. Only he can save you. This master of wind and wave and of all creation, came to his creation, taking on our human flesh, and let his creation have its way with him. It was no less as master and Lord that he willingly, nevertheless, gave himself over to the enemy, to death, even death on the cross. For as fearful as was that scene, he knew that death could reign no longer, as he would break its power, and rising from death, now conquers death and brings eternal life through the forgiveness of sins and the stilling of fear to all believers. Of what are you afraid? Christ reaches out and takes you by the hand, saying, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." And so we pray, "Lord, take my hand and lead me upon life's way. Direct, protect, and feed me from day to day. Without your grace and favor, I go astray. So take my hand, O Savior, and lead the way. Lord, when the tempest rages, I need not fear. For you, the Rock of Ages, are always near. Close by your side abiding, I fear no foe. For when your hand is guiding, in peace I go. So take my hand and lead me unto the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."